Today on Movie World as we review the second best exotic marigold hotel and Wild Tales. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
Yes, you as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you.
And you, and you, and you.
Greetings, all.
Hello.
Good evening.
Who's the you and you and yous?
Everybody you can play games with.
Tell us about your game yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, you're a bit addicted to gaming at the minute.
I'm not. I just play for 5 minutes. It's like my little token. So there is this app called Lumosity that you've heard
That's right. I know you've been Lumosity-ing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So every day I do my 5 games of Lumosity,
games to kind of mess with you or brain training?
No, they're brain. Lumosity is proper brain training.
Okay, because mind games, that Rashmi can get like that sometimes.
No, this is just brain, like memory and problem solving and so forth. But the other one I allow myself to play 5 minutes every day is this one called Fireback Movies.
Yes, I know. I just downloaded it at Yazdi's request.
Fireback
one word and movies another word. And it's essentially the gaming equivalent of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Or is it 7 degrees?
Yeah, 7 degrees. Yeah,
7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. And essentially what you do is, you can play with anybody, you can play with your Facebook friends, or you can play with a random person, and you pick a movie, and then the other person has to pick a movie which has at least one actor in common. And then when it's your turn back again, then you take the second movie and pick a third one which has the same actor as the first one. So you kind of
link
movies.
And are you typing it in? I can't wait to play.
You're typing it in, but it has a database of, 10,000 movies. So once you start typing in like fire, then every movie which might have fire in it kind of pops up, and then you can click on it.
Oh, I see.
So you don't have to hand enter the whole thing.
So you can also add to your list of movies that you want to watch.
Correct. And there's a place where you can pick favorites and make a list of movies you want to watch, which is part of the
game. Is it free to play?
It's free to play.
It's free to download. I just downloaded it.
And as we were talking earlier, you could completely cheat because you could have IMDb open on your computer.
But that's then no fun.
That's no fun. It just ruins the purpose of the movie. So I did initially use IMDb, but then I figured, what's the point? So now my rule is, if somebody throws a movie at me that I've never heard of before, I don't even know who the actors are, then I have to pass that, and then I invariably lose that game because
I bet there's not that many Yazdi that you don't know.
Maybe I think there's some cult movies or older movies that I don't know, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah, and that kind of stuff is great fun.
Yeah.
It's like people who play words with friends and they...
Me.
Well, yeah, but some people play it with like a crossword finder or a Scrabble finder.
Oh, yeah, that's no fun.
And it's like, well, they come up with these words that really no one has in their general lexicon. It's like, what's the point?
Well, I come up with some only because when I'm down to like the last few letters, I just put them anywhere and see if something will go. Wow, that's a word.
That's a word.
Really?
X-R-W-E.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I'm like, wow.
I feel like the game should penalise you for that.
Why? It doesn't know you.
Because you didn't know the word. It wasn't about your knowledge. You just like arranged some letters in a jumble.
Well, it wasn't not about my knowledge. Maybe it was in my subconscious.
I'm going to ask that they add a feature where if you put in a word that's incorrectly spelled or made up, Rashmi,
that you go bankrupt immediately. All your points are gone.
Your game is immediately forfeited.
Joe is a really sour loser.
Yeah, there's...
clearly, yes.
No bitterness in my voice at
Yes.
all.
None whatsoever.
Especially about Scrabble.
Yes. Scrabble.
We had to stop playing Scrabble.
Because Rashmi cheats.
Because there is actually an Oxford dictionary in our Scrabble box.
And Rashmi has a bag of letters stashed somewhere that always
come out. Miraculously appear.
Oh, there comes out that sore loser.
Why is it
again?
That I get the X's and the Q's that are all high value but unusable? Meanwhile, Rashmi gets lots of helpful, handy vowels.
All the S's come to Rashmi somehow.
Anyway.
Yes.
We won't talk about Scrabble anymore. So let's talk instead about the second best exotic marigold hotel. Now, there's some good Scrabble words for you right there.
I was going to say, speaking of things old people do.
it's true. Yeah.
But then that'll be a
fit.
Who needs to wait till we're 90? As the best exotic Marigold hotel has only a single remaining vacancy, posing a rooming predicament for two fresh arrivals, Sonny pursues his expansionist dream of opening a second hotel. So this is directed by John Madden and written by Ol Parker. And it stars, and it's actually based on a book.
Oh, really?
This is the screenplay based on a book, yeah. And the cast is Judi Dench, Maggie Smith, Bill Nighy, Dev Patel, Penelope Wilton, Celia Imrie, Ronald Pickup, Diana Hardcastle, Tamsin Gregg. My God, this list goes on and on and on. And Richard Gere.
Ooh.
So, Joe, did you enjoy our trip back to the second best exotic Marigold Hotel?
I didn't actually enjoy my first trip there, if you recall
that's right. Yeah.
I didn't mind the movie, but it was not my cup of tea. And I wish somebody could tell me what the purpose of this story was, because honestly, this movie and this story had complete lack of interest for me. That said, I can watch this cast sitting around doing knitting. They're all wonderful, wonderful actors, and you know, there wasn't anything to complain about. But there was nothing here of interest. And at least the first movie had some plot that I kind of bound to, and all of the issues and interplays between the characters. But here everything just seemed so forced. It felt very much like, let's make a sequel. Okay, let's do it. Everyone get together and the sequel gets made.
Yes, Dee.
Remember, this is our theme since we've been recording these podcasts.
Yes, is this one of the...
You know, if something about a director works for you, it just works for you. There's something about this. I can't put my finger on it. I know it's completely forced. I know that it's a giant ruse to bring all these characters together and somehow keep the franchise going by injecting new characters such as the Richard Gere character. I know I'm consciously aware of it. And yet the movie made me so happy. I don't know. The first Marigold Hotel movie made me really happy. This movie also made me very happy. So I liked it. I shouldn't, but I did.
Can you ask me to adjudicate?
Well, it's certainly exotic, but here is a sequel that didn't need to be made. In fact, I remember thinking when I heard it was getting a sequel, really? What a surprise, because the story didn't merit it. And unfortunately, the movie didn't really deliver. Although it's nice and pleasant to watch, this is where I differ with you, Joe. The issue is that, again, it has such a huge heart and so much affection that it's hard not to like. And I really did like the first one.
Well, let's be clear. I mean, it's not that I didn't like this movie. It was very charming. And I think all of the on-screen presences are, you know, they're very, very agreeable. But if I was to try and sum up to you in one sentence what this story was about, I really don't have a clue. I watched it pass from scene to scene to scene, without really caring about what happened next, without really caring about what had happened before, admiring the way the movie looked and felt. But it just seemed to wash over me without very much interest at all. And I think this, to me, just felt, this is very cynical of me, but it felt almost as if this movie was laser targeted to fill a specific niche in the movie market, and it was formulaic for that reason.
Young teenage boys.
but isn't it, I think, you know, no matter how the quality of the movie might be, I think it's great that somebody's making movies where there's almost no young characters. Well, in this case, Dave Patel and his to-be wife. But I like that somebody's giving these amazing seasoned actors like Bill Nighy and, you know,
Judi Dench
and Maggie Smith. I mean, honestly, I mean, watch Bill Nighy. And I said this about Judi Dench in the first movie. Watch Bill Nighy take a horrible piece of dialogue and just the way he says it, the intonations, he just completely roots it in authenticity. So it's like what you said with this cast of people. I would gladly watch them just have tea together and just talk, you know. And it's just,
it felt like what I saw here.
It's so good to watch these people. I mean, not to give anything away, but I think the Maggie Smith character is saddled with a very unfortunate, you know, story arc. But she somehow, you know, soldiers through and makes it all work.
Well, she's such an incredible actress.
She's an incredible actor.
I mean, I just kept marveling watching her, thinking, oh my God, I can't believe this is the Dowager in Downton Abbey.
Right.
Same woman, completely different. And then she's in Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's just brilliant. For me, though, I think the word you use, Joe, is the one that resonates with me. It's also forced. That's the problem. The film is forced into three parts by three ceremonies leading up to a wedding, of which that is one of the parts. But the lows aren't low enough and the highs aren't high enough, so it all just chugs along. But my, the backdrop of Rajasthan and this richly painted canvas of India is a complete delight. So I don't really care what the story was about. I mean, it's all a bit of a sleight of hand, because you're so distracted by the scenery and how beautiful it all is that it doesn't really matter what the story is about.
Yeah, I mean, it was... I did, you know, to the movie's credit, I felt very transported for a while. I think, you know, for many people, this is one of those movie experiences where you just get to step out of your life for a few minutes. You know, you get taken to a place and to a world where nothing's crashing and banging and screaming at you, and there's no yelling, and there's no, you know, there's none of the loud, brash stuff that you constantly have to contend with, you know, when you see many movies these days.
That's a good point.
You know, it's fine from that perspective. But, you know, I look for a little bit more in a film these days. And, you know, as much as I didn't feel that there was any compelling narrative here. There was no story that had to be told. There was no driving force behind the interaction of these characters other than, you know, let's put them in one place and see how they interact, which can work well, but in this instance, not very well for me.
So I agree with all of those things. I think I wish there was a better story which was connecting all the little pieces. And I think the first one was much better at this.
Yeah, much.
Than the second one. But still,
and that was an important story, the first one, I think.
Mm-hmm. In many ways. You know,
I think it was an important story to be told.
With all of the characters. So I fully agree with that. But you can't help but get carried away. You know, I think particularly as in the last half hour, the movie is just this grand celebration of a wedding, and there is a song and dance, and, you know, God knows I've watched more than my share of Indian movies, and I'm sick of people dancing around like stupid Bollywood actors. But somehow the way this is choreographed, the way it's done, the choice of music, and just how darn earnest, you know, Dave Patel is, you know, I just got carried away with it, in spite of knowing that, you know, all these flaws in the movie. So I don't know, the movie just really made me happy. And again, let's not forget, this is the director who made Shakespeare in Love. He did, you know, Debt a few years ago. So there's, again, this is a very accomplished... Remember Debt with Helen Mirren and Jessica Chastain? The Debt.
Yes, love that movie.
So this is not... This is a director who knows how to construct a good movie. And so I think he got burdened with a bad script, but I think considering that, the end product is still very worthwhile.
Yeah, I agree with you, Yassi. I think he just... almost felt like he couldn't go there. The film wants to go there, right? The film wants to go to places. It wants to talk about relationships in later life. It wants to talk about sex and marriage. And it wants to talk about the fact that less life is left than you have available. But it doesn't go there. It doesn't quite reach that. And so it's just this very middle of the road story. Bringing things together and things just happening. And again, it's not that's a bad thing. And I love the Indian wedding. I mean, I just love it. It feels like you've gone to a party. And it has good dialogue and it's nice to see the people again. But I just wish that there had been more of a difference in the highs and the lows. And I wish that there had been someone to really root for, because no one really faced any adversity.
I see what you mean. I mean, I think what you see is the lack of ups and lows. I almost saw that as a deliberate attempt to keep things light-handed and not get very heavy-handed. And a great example is, again, with the Maggie Smith character, how that whole thing is handled. I think it could have been handled a very different way in another movie. But I think the way it's handled, it's deliberately being very deft, you know, very, very light-handed about it, which may come off as, at least with that story arc, it may come off as being... middle of the road.
But disposable in my mind. And I think if you're going to put together an ensemble like this, then do it in the way that Mike Lee does it. you know, we saw a film a couple of years ago, I think it was just called Another Year,
mm-hmm.
where, again, not very much happened, but you had a wonderful cast and a wonderful ensemble that was kind of thrown together in a circumstance. Again, I couldn't really tell you what that year, that sorry, I couldn't really tell you what that movie was about, other than...
It was very powerful in terms of the character study. Wonderfully bold,
purposeful interactions between characters that were that had integrity and a reality to them. Here, I didn't buy for a second the trip that Dev Patel and Maggie Smith took to San Diego. I mean, you know, that was just forced. It was like it was put in there for a reason in order to drive the plot, but you know. It just felt like the movie was trying too hard, and I don't like to see that.
And I think no one had a purpose, right? We were just kind of visiting for the day, it felt like, and we just saw people in their natural habitat, but it didn't feel like anyone had a journey to make.
I think the only journey was with the Dave Patel character, who very much wants to open a second hotel, and I think that's what's driving the whole plot. And, you know, the obstacles he encounters along the way. Going back to Another Year, you know, it was a Mike Leigh film, and Mike Leigh very famously does all of his movies. He did Vera Drake, he did Naked, he did most recently Mr. Turner.
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
but he very famously doesn't. He writes a very loose script, and he has actors improvise over a long time. And as the actors are improvising, they come up with a lot
story
of
their emerges. Own dialogue.
So you know that builds a sense of reality, you know, to the movies he makes. But I think this is a much more glossier, you know. And I'm the reason why I'm cutting this movie some slack and letting it get away with what it gets away is I do think that Hollywood has no interest in making movies for the older set, even though I don't know why they should recognize that that's a well-paying. You know, these are people who pay a lot of money to watch a good movie.
Yeah, but
movie.
They talk in the screenings. They sit behind you.
Let's talk about
they
behaviors.
Sit behind you and they talk and they don't know that they're talking that loudly.
That's true, but I'm not even going to go there. I don't want to get 100 nasty emails from
people. I'm going to start climbing a soapbox.
But I do like the fact that somebody's making a movie that caters to not even an older crowd, but just caters to people who want something other than exploding buildings.
Ranting aside, Yazdi, I agree with you. I think it's important to represent all parts of society. Right. And I think that it's important for us to see this part of society, because clearly in the next few years, that's going to be the part of society that is predominant. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I must say it was lovely to see Richard Gere in this movie, right? It was like, hey, look, there's Richard. And he's still a lovely older gentleman. Look how nicely he's aged.
I wasn't quite ready for him to show up in the best exotic Marigold Hotel franchise.
Yeah,
just like I was surprised to see Bill Smith. I mean, Bruce Willis. I was surprised to see Bruce Willis in The Expendables. I'm like, really?
Right.
He's that old now? But I guess he is. But anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else on this one? Okay, let's wrap it up. Yes, you start.
So, you know, again, you know, there's plenty you can find wrong with the movie. There's, you know, the plot is really non-existent. But again, there's something about the sensibility. There's something about these actors. I mean, God knows I can watch Judi Dench do her thing forever. She can just talk. She was talking about textiles at one point, you know.
That's right.
And that's fine with me. I'll watch Judi Dench do anything. And, you know, she's saddled with a strange arc with the Bill Nighy character, and see what these people do. I mean, they don't do wonders with it, but they make it stick somehow. So I'd watch these actors do anything. And I got really carried away with the fun of the movie in the last half hour. I was in that wedding enjoying all the dancing and singing. 7 out of 10, which is a little bit generous, but it's a good time.
Joe, did you reminisce about your own Indian wedding?
A couple of nightmare flashbacks here.
Oh, that was a horror movie.
The Lazarus Effect.
The Lazarus Effect.
So this was all very agreeable. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm.
It is.
It was very just a, you know, it's a pleasant way to spend an hour and a half. I mean, I can't really find fault with it in that regard. but I don't want to encourage this kind of thing.
Don't be like that.
I'm sorry, that's but mean. I know, but I'm.
And yet, you want Zack Snyder to keep blowing up cities and movie after movie.
More. No, I think so. With this kind of movie, that there has to be some story that needs to be told, and I think I just want them to try a little harder. If you're going to do this, if you're going to take me to this wonderful location with these wonderful people, then have them do something or a little bit more interesting. I feel like a 4 out of 10 is brutal for this, but I really feel like
don't be that person.
I can't condone this kind of filmmaking.
So. Oh my god,
4 out of 10.
Come on, it's better than 4. Chappie. Come on,
it's mildly better.
It's not mildly better than Chappie.
Okay. Wow.
4 out of 10.
I know. I'm sorry. I struggled.
I mean, I can't remember what your score for the first one was. It wasn't that great.
I struggled to maintain interest. This isn't on my wavelength.
Yeah. So someone actually says this line in the movie. So I thought it was quite appropriate. There's plenty of room for improvement, but the affection just whisks you up.
Oh, yeah, they say it, yes. Richard Gere says that, yes.
This is a big hug. This is just a big hug. 7 out of 10.
Yeah, it is a hug. Don't listen to Scrooge McScrooge over here.
Yeah,
that would be a good movie night. Chappie followed by the best exotic Marigold Hotel.
Shoot
and
me
maybe
now.
Even a Holy Motor sandwich.
Yes.
Oh, I God, you that. Guys.
That's, you just define hell for Joe. Yeah,
Birdman as a chaser. Right?
There you go. Yes.
Come on. That's the ultimate film festival experience.
And you said I was being mean when I rated that movie.
And talking about Holy Moses.
Moving on, yes, let's talk about movie number 2 this week, Wild Tales.
Inequality, injustice, and the demands of the world we live in cause stress and depression for many people. Some of them, however, explode. This is a movie about those people. Vulnerable in the face of reality that shifts and sudden turns unpredictable. The characters of Wild Tales cross the thin line that divides civilization and barbarism. A lover's betrayal, a return to the repressed past, and the violence woven into everyday encounters drive the characters to madness as they cede to the undeniable pleasure of losing control.
Wow.
So this was actually an Oscar nomination. It didn't win.
For Best Foreign Film.
For Best Foreign Film. Thank you, Yazdi. It's directed by Damien Cifron. I know I've said his name horribly. It's also written by him. And it stars a host of people. I'm not even going to try and say their names because I'll just butcher them.
I think Ricardo Darín is the one big name.
Yeah, I think Ricardo Darín. Yes, and Leonardo Sbaraglia. Yeah, Erica Rivas, Oscar Martinez.
Did you mention that it's a series of vignettes?
Yes.
Correct. 5. It is a series of 5 vignettes.
Which have nothing to do with each other.
And unfortunately, I didn't think we were going to do a podcast of this, so we did break the cardinal rule and speak about this one before the podcast. We all know how we felt, but we'll try and say why we felt that way, maybe. So, Yazdi, why don't you go first?
So I think these are 5 vignettes which all have to do with revenge in some form or the other. And it's kind of, you know, people make movies which are based on these vignettes, but they try to kind of force them all to be somehow connected, or the characters from one are linked to the other. And I really like that this movie, every story has nothing to do with the other. They're little chapters completely unrelated to each other, except for this underlying theme of revenge. And for me personally, some of these stories are a 10 and some of these are a 6. But overall, it's such a wickedly good time. I mean, this movie is the definition of a crowd pleaser. I cannot imagine anybody watching this and not being tickled funny, you know. I mean, you may find some of those stories preposterous. You may find some of those stories too violent, too grisly. But you cannot deny being entertained. This is a 100% entertaining movie. You know, it has so much going for it. I recommend it completely to everyone.
Joe.
Yeah, as far-fetched as some of these stories are, I think the motivations and behaviors of all of the characters are completely understandable and as preposterous as some of the places that it goes to are. I found myself at every point in time, completely engaged with what was happening, completely
empathizing,
and there was a level of plausibility behind all of them. Even though people were crazy, sometimes their behaviors were motivated by that moment of rage, that moment that we all feel at one point or another, where, I don't know, maybe I'm going to bring out my inner psycho here, but, you know, when somebody does something to you on the road and you just want to hit the gas and go right into the back of them and say, I'll show you. This movie kind of has so many moments like that. I had a blast with this movie. It had me in stitches all the way through. The way it found humor in these moments of
very dark, yeah,
was as good as anything that, you know, a Guy Ritchie or a Tarantino, mm-hmm, has done for us.
Yeah, I think the alternative name of this movie could be I'll Show You. I mean, yeah, what an amazing movie. This is a rush out and see. Hands down, one of my favorites of the year so far. Each story is just perfectly crafted and unpredictable. And not only that, it's smart, witty, funny, and unusual with great dialogue. Even though it's translated dialogue, the dialogue is really, really, really good. How many times, like you said, Joe, how many times have we all in our head wanted to do some of the things that these characters do? I mean, that's what the movie's about, right? It's about that switch that just flips. And it's just sheer brilliance.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about people snapping, right? In every one of these instances, people just said, I've had enough, okay? Or most of them, in most situations.
And they don't all get away with it.
They don't all get away with it. But and truth be told, some of those, it was very obvious in the first couple minutes that who is going to snap and, you know, who's going to seek revenge. But still, you enjoy how it plays out. And we've talked about our, you know, we can talk about what our favorite vignette is, but there is one about this guy driving an Audi who happens to run into a not so likable character out in the
I call that one road rage.
Yeah.
I gave them all names.
But that movie, that little vignette is almost a textbook example of rapidly building pressure. I mean, it just builds like a pressure cooker, and the ante keeps getting raised higher and higher and higher. And you're like, just when you think that these two individuals cannot possibly do more harm to each other, then they land up doing it, and then it pushes it further. And I almost wish that people weren't even listening to this podcast, because even that is a spoiler. I just want people to go and enjoy it. But this kind of stuff is hard to do because it can come off too gimmicky. And some of the stories did come off too gimmicky. They didn't work as well as others. But as gimmicky as they are, I just still enjoyed the ride. It's like being at the amusement park.
Yeah, and I think the gimmick works because you only get just enough. I think if there had been a whole movie based, mm-hmm, around that film, a full-length feature, that wouldn't have worked. But the fact that these are vignettes, and some of them are 10 minutes, some of them are 15 minutes, some of them are a little bit longer, makes for a feeling that you come out with overall that's just amazing.
It's like a series of little fireworks. I mean, that, you know, they all kind of arrive, and then they start to crackle and pop, and then they explode, and then you move on to the next one. And, you know, the way that the characters boil over, I think, would be very hard to do in a longer narrative. These aren't stories that have enough depth to them that they would support a longer narrative. So I very much applaud the decision to make these, yeah, short movies. And I think any one of them would be a completely self-contained short movie that would be a joy to behold at a film festival. You know, mm-hmm, the fact that they put them together and called them Wild Tales, you know, you make a feature-length movie that way. But really, this guy is showcasing talent. I don't know how much other work he has behind him, but clearly he's trying to say, I can do this stuff, guys. You know, somebody give me a shot.
Yeah, and I'm not aware of how this movie came to be. I should. But I don't think it's a question of him having made a series of short films and he decided to put them together and say, oh, this will make a movie. I think he very intentionally said, I'm going to, you know, put together five stories or seven stories which all deal with the theme of revenge and people snapping, and he very deliberately orchestrated it. So I think, to give credit where it's due, I think a lot of this is very intentional, and except for the, I love the, I think the reason why this movie works as well as it does is because except for the last story, which works for some, doesn't work for others, but except for them, every other story kind of taps into, you know, our everyday frustrations with certain things. Like, you know, how many times have you gone to the DMV and just been like pissed off that you made me stand for 2 hours in this line, now you're going to make me stand another 4 hours in that line? Or, you know, through no fault of mine, I have to pay a parking ticket for this, or my car got towed because of that. I mean, we've all been there. Yeah. It's very primal in how it taps into those frustrations. And I think it's that primal nature of that. I mean, every story, even the one in the diner, you know, how many of us have really, I have imagined doing horrible things to somebody who has wronged us.
Right,
you know?
Of course.
We never act on it, but we're like, this person like really ruined my career, or they ruined my life, or they ruined my school scores. And I would really like to get back at them. And it kind of taps into this beautifully.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Just stunning. I can't say enough about this.
Yeah, go out and see this if you can. I don't know that it's going to have a big release here because it is subtitled, but it's getting an opening in San Diego, which I applaud, at the Landmark.
March the 20th,
on March the 20th at the Landmark Cinemas. And again, not to get on my soapbox, but I always do, is that when it comes time for awards, you know, the voters always kind of seem to reward the serious stuff over the less serious stuff. I mean, like, they picked, you know, Ida or Ida.
I was going to say.
Over this one. I mean, Ida is a very accomplished film. It is very powerful, all of that stuff. But I don't think that that should be held in a higher esteem than something as like Wild Tales. You
I
know?
Agree. I'm shocked that Ida won over this, to be honest.
Yeah.
Or even over, yeah. Okay, that's an argument that's gone.
Yeah, we had our grumble about the Academy Awards, and I don't think we've grumbled since they were announced, but I think everyone probably knows how we feel from the podcast that we did there.
Okay, let's wind this one up. So, Joe, why don't you go first?
Yeah, marvelous. What an absolute blast this movie was. I think it was overcooked all the way through, and that was kind of the whole point. It had me in stitches. Bravo. A simple... It's very easy for me to give this an 8 out of 10, but I think I might just go ahead and give it 9 because it was that damn good.
Yes, Dee.
For me, you know, I've kind of raved. We've all raved about this movie. I'd heard so much about this movie before I watched it that I had unreasonably high expectations for it. And I expected every movie to play out a little bit differently. Mm. I mean, every set, and to be more clever than the other. And it took me a while to realize, no, each one of them have this more or less a similar theme, and they're all going to kind of play off in the same way. So that was a tiny bit of a disappointment for me, and that's the only reason why I would not give it a 9 out of 10. But this is what cinema is. It's about watching the unexpected, of recognizing what somebody else is going through in a more extreme version of what you've gone through in your life at different times. So it does so many things right. Great acting, great script. A very stingy 8 out of 10.
Boo hiss. So well acted, with incredible direction. Dark, twisted, clever, and hauntingly brilliant. My God, I also almost want to give this a 10. I'm going to give this a 10.
No, you're not giving it
a 10. It's my first 10 of the year for the ones we've reviewed.
You're saying no other movie will be better than this.
No, I'm saying it's the best one I've seen so far. Okay. By a long shot of the ones we've reviewed.
Okay, fair enough.
Because the other one I want to mention is The Things We Do in the Shadows. What is it? What We Do in the Shadows. Absolute brilliant. I know we haven't done a podcast
we'll
on
do it.
It.
Yes.
Brilliant, brilliant movie. These two are like my favorite movies so far.
Mm. What We Do in the Shadows, too clever by far for its own good.
Yes.
But it was very good.
Yes. But anyway, no, this one, I just think this is brilliant. And funnily enough, Yazdi, that last scene is my favorite scene. The wedding scene, which you guys both thought was extremely indulgent and too much. For me, it was just the perfect ending.
I liked Road Rage and the parking ticket vignette with equal esteem.
For me, nothing can top the Road Rage one. I just love that.
Really?
Yeah.
And I like the first one too. It's really pithy. It's like less than 5 minutes. But
yeah.
And if, like you said earlier, if it was any longer, you would see through the plot holes.
Correct.
It's just short enough that it kind of catches you by surprise, and then it's over.
Well, it's also before the credits run.
Yeah.
So you're like, what the hell's going on? Yeah. Right? You don't even know what's coming, so.
Yeah. And if people, sorry, I don't want to stop you, but if people can't find the time to head out to the Ken Cinemas and Landmark, this is going to be available on iTunes. You know, it's so worth
I'm just looking for it there now.
It's so worth $3.99 instead of watching some stupid random comedy or horror movie. You know, please go watch this. You'll be very rewarded. You can thank us later.
Yeah.
Okay. Let us know what you think of these movies. Mail at movierollers.com, twitter.com/movierollers, facebook.com/movierollers as well. Until our next episode, it's too many movies, too little time. A good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.